Hi, this is Chris Kepler with Does This Happen to You? The podcast where we explore the more bizarre ways of getting through your day. This week, we continue with the Oh My God series from The Drunken Cyclist, a blog on WordPress. And here is episode 44. We were having our last dinner at one of my favorite restaurants in Reims when Paul announced that he had just signed CC and himself up for the next week in Belgium, which CC declined since, unbeknownst to all of us, she was married with four kids at home. Hearing this, Paul also confessed that his somewhat estranged wife had AIDS, although he did not. Maggie informed us that her dissertation advisor had proposed to her via email. Anne and Ellen revealed that they were actually millionaires several times over, and Oh My God demonstrated his ability to recite the alphabet with only one, albeit lengthy, belch. The following morning I had bid Anne, Ellen, and CC adieu and was in a train station with Oh My God trying to catch a train back to Paris. Moments prior to getting to the platform with my trusty L'Equipe newspaper, there was a loud metallic sound followed by a collective gasp. As I tried to assess the situation, I first noticed the dozen or so people on the platform who had all assumed the Oh My God stance, mouth agape, head gently shaking, hand to forehead, occasionally muttering, Mon Dieu. I stood there for a while a bit dumbfounded as to what just happened. I looked about the tracks, and there were clothes scattered all over the area. After some more surveillance of the scene, I noticed several severely twisted pieces of metal that, though distorted, had a haunting familiarity. They were once welded together to form Oh My God's bike. There was one perversely twisted wheel right across the tracks, but I could not locate the other. The saddle, which was still attached to the severed seat post, had somehow found its way up on to the platform. And there were several pieces of the frame strewn about along with what must have been his clothes. From an initial estimate, I figured he had to have 18 different clothing combinations that I had never seen up to that point, which initially angered me, having suffered through the daily stench of his unwashed, perpetually worn bike gear. After a bit more examination, though, it seemed that many of those clothes still had their store tags attached, no doubt hastily bought by his mother right before the trip. As I was milling about, taking in the spectacle, I overheard a passenger explain to the station staff what had happened. She stated that the bike, which was on the wrong side of the yellow line that indicated the furthest advancement allowed to those waiting for the train, seemed to be sucked into the vortex that had been created by the speeding TGV. In all my time traveling via train in Europe, I had heard of such an occurrence with the various high-speed trains, but like Bigfoot or the Loch Ness Monster, I thought it was but a myth, meant to strike fear into the unbelieving, resulting in further blind adherence to the rules. I guess I was wrong. As we all stood there flabbergasted, I did the only thing that made sense. I took out my phone and started taking photos. No one would otherwise ever believe it. I also started to laugh, uncontrollably at first, but as I received more and more judgmental stares, I tried to dial it back a bit, hoping to pass it as a bout of irrepressible coughing, but that tact was only mildly believable at best. I am not sure why I found the situation funny. Perhaps it was a reaction to all that had happened in the preceding 2 weeks, and this was the ultimate karma in response to my thoughts craving his demise. Objectively, it was far from humorous. We were already on a tight schedule, and now he would need a new bike, which would necessitate a trip to the office. We would also have to deal with the mess before us. I imagined that Oh My God would need to recuperate at least some of his belongings strewn throughout the station. In fact, I was going to insist on it, since the thought of him wearing the already disgustingly foul bike shorts and shirt that he was sporting every day for the next week was frankly too much to contemplate. Better to spread the stench around a bit, as perverse as that may sound. We were also due to meet the clients that would be joining us for the next leg of the trip in Brugge for dinner, but that aspect of the day was certainly in jeopardy at this point. After I was done taking a few photos for posterity, I went over to Oh My God, who, incredulously, was not running around frantically looking for help, nor was he talking to any of the employees of the railroad to organize some sort of rescue program for his belongings. He was not even curled up in the fetal position on a platform bench, whimpering for his mother. This was an option I would anticipate. Nope, none of the above. Instead, he was sitting casually on a platform bench, with his left leg crossed over his right, with no apparent care in the world, and absolutely no indication that his bike was at the center of the mayhem occurring all around him. And he was eating. Yes, he was eating a nasty-looking croissant, at least I assumed it was a croissant, that had no doubt been in his back jersey pocket since some previous breakfast. I walked over to him and tapped him on the shoulder, although I was tempted to grab him forcefully by the ear. He looked up as if nothing had happened, perhaps even a bit perturbed that I had interrupted his dining. I waited. Nothing. After a moment or two of who's going to talk first standoff, I spread my hands a bit, tilted my head slightly to the left, did a quick, violent, yet subtle headshake, and shot him my best what-the-hell glance. Nothing. Knowing that another staring contest would only result in raising my blood pressure, I ask, "Why are you just sitting there? Don't you see all of your crap strewn about the station? Don't you think you should do something?" He stood up, surprisingly brushed off the crumbs that had accumulated on his belly, which had seemed to have only gotten bigger over the 2 weeks on the bike, and said calmly, "I knew I was going to need your help." While it was certainly possible that those words were carefully chosen to invoke sympathy with me, it is much more likely that he had never spoken truer words in his life, other than "more beer" or "thanks for tucking me in, Mommy." And I actually felt bad for him. Yeah, I am a sucker. So we headed over to the small army of SNCF personnel that had amassed at the epicenter, and I let them know that he, or more precisely now we, were the poor bastards whose belongings were strewn all over the place. I awaited the inevitable chastisement from a lower-level French apparatchik, but it never came. Instead, the chef de gare, the station chief, actually apologized to me, or more precisely now, us. Why? Well, it seems that it is rare that a TGV comes through their station at close to full speed like that. But there had been an incident an hour earlier on the regular TGV track, and the train needed to be rerouted. I stupidly asked what sort of incident, to which the chef de gare instantly, and somewhat coldly, replied, "Une suicide." And with that, I found some new perspective. Sure, the next 24 hours were likely to be close to a living hell, but I am pretty sure that beats actual hell, which I am no doubt destined for when I am placed in the ground. The next 10 minutes, however, were rather amazing, I must say. While I thought Oh My God and I would need to climb down on the track and pick up all this crap, there were already 4 station workers down there with plastic bags and the type of poles you see highway crews use when picking up garbage. Each of the workers had 2 bags, one for the items to keep, the other for trash or horrendously salvageable items. Rather quickly, they gathered up everything that resulted from the incident, even the badly mangled bike frame, the 2 wheels that resembled oddly shaped tacos, and a good number of empty soda bottles, train tickets, and oddly enough, several mismatched shoes. At least a couple of times one of the workers would pick up an article of Oh My God's overly soiled clothing, would turn to him as if to say, This can't possibly be yours. It has been on the tracks for 3 weeks, Noel. To which he would emphatically nod as if to say, No, I love that shirt. That's why I wear it just about every day. Begrudgingly, the railroad worker involved would extend both arms as far as he could away from his body and drop the item into the hefty bag, shaking his head and no doubt wishing he could hold his nose, and continue to collect the debris scattered across the track. This happened at least 12 times. Objectively, Oh My God was exhibiting an attention to detail that up to this point I would have bet both my arms and one of my legs that he simply did not possess. His head was essentially on a swivel, pivoting from one worker to the next as they gathered each particle of the disaster, nodding assent on his sundry items, dismissing mangled bike parts out of hand, and pausing contemplatively on random pieces of garbage. It was a sight to behold. As if he were a frantic auctioneer trying to keep on top of a flurry of bids. Eventually, we ended up with 13 garbage bags, 3 of various bike parts, 4 that was sequestered by Oh My God, 3 filled with garbage, and another 3 that were questionable. Surprisingly, we were able to board our actual train, which departed only 12 minutes late. The French get a ton of heat for being tragically Latin, i.e., inefficient, but the truth is that they can pick and choose their battles, as opposed to the Italians. The rest of the day was rather nondescript. I took the bag of bike items and retired to the first-class cabin. One of the few perks of being a guide was a first-class Eurail pass. While I relegated Oh My God to a second-class car with the other 3 bags of crap. The railway workers on board, no doubt given the directive from the still apologetic chef de gare, allowed Oh My God to rummage through the bags in case they missed something. They also let him know that anything he did not want, he could simply leave on the train for the cleaning crew to address. On my end, during the short trip to Paris, I had gone over the bike items, salvaging all that I could, front and rear derailleurs, the rear brakes, a water bottle cage, and the saddle. When we got off, Oh My God had somehow whittled down his 3 bags into 5, no doubt waylaying an unsuspecting SNCF employee to lending him 2 bags. I was curious for a moment as to how he organized his gear, but only for a moment. He indicated that 1 bag might be of interest to the bike tour company. It contained, among other random items, a pair of mismatched socks, part of a severely bent handlebar, and a McDonald's bag containing 3 very odd-looking French fries. After giving Oh My God very detailed directions on how to make it back to the office by metro, it involved staying on a single train, the 4, for 4 stops, I left the mangled bike frame by a trash can in the station, loaded my bike up with all the salvaged parts, which did not include any of the treasures that Oh My God had just given me, and made my way to the office. After a short ride from the Gare de Lille, I contemplated on how I would handle the next week in Belgium and Germany. On the one hand, there were to be 4 new people joining the trip to distract me and thus dilute Oh My God's impact. On the other, we would be riding through 2 countries that embrace beer more than any others. That couldn't be good. Before I could develop any sort of logical long-term approach as to how to limit Oh My God's intake of his preferred beverage and thus mitigating any future mishaps, I was already at the office. I had called ahead to alert them of the situation so that the company's mechanic could get another bike ready, as there was an outside chance that we could still make a train that would land us in Brugge in time for a late dinner. As I dismounted my bike, I was amazed to see Oh My God strolling toward me, without an apparent care in the world. He was holding on to his large plastic bags, slung over his shoulder with 1 hand, and a can of the unmistakable green labeled beer in the other. Before I could even think of what to say, he had some trouble navigating a rather odd vehicular barrier. Said barrier consists of 2 large concrete knee-high pillars with an ankle-high, heavy-duty chain strung between them. Oh My God noticed the chain at the last moment, managing to lift his right foot just high enough to clear it. The problem was that this sudden altering of his gait caused the large black plastic bags to shift, throwing him slightly off balance. This caused him to extend his stride slightly, and his trailing left foot did not make it over the chain. Oh My God lurched forward, with the plastic bags flying over his shoulder ahead of him, and he tumbled to the ground. No fall is ever really graceful, but his had a certain flair to it. As he fell, he was able to keep his right arm in the air, as if in a cast, thus bracing his fall with only his left. As his helmeted head made a large smack against the pavement, his right arm remained extended, as if carrying a torch that he was trying desperately to keep lit. But there was no torch in his hand, only a Heineken, and he did not spill a drop. If you enjoyed this story or my podcast, please let me know. I'm always looking for great stories to narrate, so if you have one, get in contact with me. I love to hear from you. And if you'd like to hear more stories like this more often, please become my Podbean patron. Just click the link on my Podbean page.